Before we turn to our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Bright morning star, shine your light upon these words read and proclaimed, that we might see more fully the miracle of your ongoing presence in our lives and in our world. Help us to behold your splendor. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the first six verses. You can follow along by turning to page 690 of the Old Testament section of our Pew Bibles. Let us indeed listen for God's word to us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading on this Epiphany Sunday is a familiar one, coming to us from Matthew's Gospel in the second chapter, as Matthew shares with us the story of the visit of the Magi. You may follow along on page 2 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible if you desire. Listen now for God's word. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard about this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, greetings to you on this joyous Epiphany Sunday. It is January 3rd. I hope that your New Year's resolutions have not already met an untimely end, especially the ones related to church. If attending church more regularly was one of your resolutions, then let me be the first to say that you are doing a great job so far. Of course, in that same spirit, this will be the best sermon you have heard all year. And for that matter, also the worst, if you're going to evaluate. We'll let next Sunday take care of itself and what you think at that point. Light is our word of faith for this day. And light plays a powerful role in the witness of Scripture. In Hebrew, light is the second word that God speaks in the creation narrative in the first chapter of Genesis. Yehi Or, God says in Hebrew, let there be light. That light comes before the lesser lights of sun and moon and stars, representing as it does God's creative and redemptive power already at work in creation. In the New Testament, followers of Jesus are sometimes referred to as children of light. The light of God's face shines on the people as Aaron gives his well-known benediction. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The psalmist declares that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's not a lot of light, by the way. I mean, that's not eternal brightness and joy and peace. That's seeing just a little bit ahead of where you're going. But when it's dark, you don't need a lot of light. A little bit of light really helps. When Laura Lewis was a professor of Christian education at Austin Seminary, she shared a story about a student who was preparing a lesson plan on the 9th chapter of Isaiah. It's a familiar text this time of year. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. As part of her research into this passage, the student decided to try to find the darkest place on campus. She discovered a little-used racquetball court in the basement of a classroom building. It was accessed only by going down two flights of steps and through heavy doors. She discovered that when you got inside and closed the door and turned out the lights, it was really dark in there. There was not a single stray photon bouncing around that could make an impression on a human retina. It was, she said, totally dark, scary dark. When it came time for the student to lead her class through her lesson, she brought them down the stairs through the doors and sat them around the edges of the court. And then she said, "You are people who live in a land of deep darkness." And then she turned out the light. A few students gasped. Then it got pretty quiet. She waited. In the hush and in the dark, they sat. They sat and waited. After 5 minutes, five surprisingly long, silent, and absolutely dark minutes, she said the words, "Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." And with those words, she struck a match and she lit a small candle. Now, by no means did that small candle fill that vast room with light, but all the same, it changed things. With the flickering of that light, people saw themselves, they saw each other, they saw faces, surprised faces, puzzled faces, even a couple of faces streaked with tears. For those in deep darkness, a little bit of light made all the difference in the world. Epiphany is a day of thanksgiving for God's light. Light that shines in the midst of the darkness of this world. The word comes to us from Greek. Epi means upon, phanos means light or lamp. So epiphanos, epiphany, means light shining upon us. Both of our readings this morning speak of God working through light for sake of the well-being of this world. On one level, the story of the visit of the Magi is about the light of a star, the star that leads these wise men to find the Christ child. But there's more light here than the star. The child himself is the light, of course. His light is no longer confined just to the people of Israel, but is now given to the Gentiles as well, and that means everyone. In that ancient worldview, there were two groups of people. There were the people of Israel and everybody else, the Gentiles. So the wise men coming embody Isaiah's message that the nations, the Gentiles, also receive this light of God's love. Well, that light is for us too. Now, there may be occasions when we are so overwhelmed with the light of God's love, that everything just seems to shine with divine radiance. And you may have had experiences along through the course of your days that are like that. That being said, I think that most of us receive this light a few photons at a time. We experience the small light that comes in the singing of a beloved hymn, and that light guides our steps for the next few moments, or maybe even for a day or two. We experience the light that reflects from a person who sits with us in the hospital, or light from candlelit faces of family or friends around the dinner table, or maybe even here on Christmas Eve. We see the light that shines through a kind word from somebody at work. We see light from an inspiring, challenging teacher, or from a friend whose kindness or encouragement brightens the day. It doesn't mean that there aren't challenges and difficulties that are going on at the same time. Of course not. But what it does mean is that there is light even then, and that whatever challenges we face can be borne with a sense of God's presence in the midst of them. It doesn't take a lot of light to make a difference. As Scott Black Johnson says, as he reflects on Laura Lewis's story of that candle shining in that pitch black darkness, we're reminded that God climbs right into the darkest places to be with us. And in that holy and luminous action, we find reason enough to hope. The great Howard Thurman reminds us that you and I have a part to play in that enlightening work, bearing witness to the light of God's love as we share in what Thurman calls the work of Christmas. Like Isaiah, who elsewhere calls Israel to be a light to the nations, Thurman says that when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. As we turn in this new year to that light-bearing work of ministry, there are some things that we would do well to remember. One is that as bright as we are not the light. If that's news to you, especially if it's bad news to you, my apologies. I trust that you'll be grateful at some point. We certainly bear witness to the light, but the light that we shine in the world is not us. Ours is given to reflect the light that God gives in Christ. And in that regard, humility is always appropriate. Another thing for us to remember is that this light does not just shine on people like us. Isaiah and Matthew both are telling us that this light is for everyone, that God's claim is on all people, Christians, Jews, Muslims, citizens and undocumented aliens, the prosperous and the put upon, residents and refugees. Our work is to serve in such a way that a little more light might shine in the lives of those who are living in places of darkness, be they our neighbors here or in some faraway place halfway around the world. At the beginning of my sabbatical back in May, I spent a few days in Virginia with some of my good friends in ministry. One of them was Chris Joyner, who is the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Franklin, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. At this moment, right now, Chris is not in Franklin. He is on the Greek island of Lesvos, off the coast of Turkey, with a handful of members from his church, working alongside other volunteers from Germany, Sweden, Ireland, Canada, and many other places to assist refugees who are fleeing the horrors of Syria, Afghanistan, and other war-torn places. Appropriately enough, the island of Lesvos has a lighthouse. Chris says that life at the lighthouse night shift, where he and some from his church have served these last few days, is the same every day as it has been since this site was organized in response to the thousands of refugees who are washing ashore after the 5-mile journey across the Aegean Sea from Turkey. The reason the lighthouse site was founded and its primary mission is to spot boats on the Aegean Sea early enough to call in the Coast Guard and divert the boat to a safer landing area. Many boats are understandably drawn to the bright lights of the lighthouse, not recognizing that the lights are there not only to show where land is, but also to stand as a warning. They're lured by the light, but if they get to the lighthouse, what they find is a rocky and treacherous landing. So Chris says, we take shifts watching the water, using regular and night vision binoculars, and then notifying the Coast Guard as needed. Friday night, two nights ago, he says that they, on the island there, processed some 1,500 refugees. As we watch and wait, he says, we've come to know these beautiful people who lead our groups of volunteers, people like a woman named Jade, who told me as we stood on the hillside far above the lighthouse looking out on the sea, she said, do you know that all of this, all that is happening on this island is the result of volunteers? She said, when I grew up, I had a negative view of humanity, but no more. You always hear how many died. But what about all who lived? And that was because people, just regular people like you and me, we decided to come. It is so beautiful, she said. It is so wonderful. Now I think about the light from that island that greets those refugees. Not from the lighthouse, of course, but from the people. The people who are there because of God's light shining forth into the world in the Christ child, who now reflect and share that light in the lives of people who are fleeing a land of deep darkness. For that matter, I think about the light that shines just down the street from us here in the fellowship hall at St. Timothy's. Light from your faces and from many others. Light that welcomes and feeds and cares for and protects the women who are staying in the shelter there. And the light that shines upstairs here in our FaithNet Sunday school rooms as you greet our children and share the love and the peace and the joy of Christ with them week by week as they learn the story of our faith, and the light that shines in homes and rooms and apartments at places like Arbor Acres and Brook Ridge and Salem Town, as you love and cherish our older folk in those places. Perhaps a resolution that we could all add to our list this year is to find a way to shine a light every day into the life of another person. Not just any light, but the light of God's love, incarnate in Christ Jesus our Lord, the one who feeds us and blesses us with his light-giving love at his table, and who sends us forth as luminaries into the world. It does not take a lot of light to make a difference in a dark place. How will you let that light shine? That's a good epiphany question. How will you let that light shine? Amen.